Good to see everyone here this morning. It's really good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Once again, I like to say another opportunity. Are we a little hot on this mic a little bit, maybe? Okay. So I wanted just to kind of, before I get, there is a word I want to bring here this morning to the church. And before I do that, I just want to take just a minute to testify a little bit about the great work that I was able to be a part of. I got to travel, had the opportunity, it was a great opportunity to travel with Pastor Dan and to go and to visit the Yuma Church before I went out on vacation. And upon returning back from vacation, immediately turned back around and went out to Boise, Idaho, and we had a chance to fellowship with that church and be out there and spend some time with them. So had a wonderful time. It's really, if you've never had the opportunity to travel with ministry and to see the work of God and what's taking place in other churches and so forth, it's really good. And if you haven't had a chance to do that, then I will just bring back the report to you and tell you that beyond these four walls here, there's the work of God that's taking place in our other churches. And it's really awesome to see that, because the work of God is so valuable and so important that not only is He working here in the Chicago church to bring forth His word and to bring forth the manifestation of the sons of God, but the work of God continues in Boise, in Yuma, and in Visalia, and anywhere that this word of God is reaching out to, it is having a profound effect in people's lives. And it's really good to get to know the people when you're up there and you're ministering, whether it be in Yuma or in Boise. You spend a lot of time with people one-on-one and in a lot of different conversations. And in doing so, you'll see that there are a lot of needs out there. There are still a lot of needs that are working in the people of God. And when you see those needs, you know that the only person that can help them is God. So what do? We bring God to them. You bring the word of the Lord. You bring hope. You bring encouragement. You bring prophecy. You bring whatever it is that the Lord needs to speak or say. And you get to be a partaker of speaking those things. And we love it. We had such a great time. There's such an opportunity to learn and to grow. And we love the other churches. We're thankful for the work of God that's going on. And I was so happy to be a part of it. And I just wanted to bring you back a good report from those things that I got to experience. Like, God is on the move. He's working in people's lives. I got to partake of and experience so many different things. It was just wonderful. If you talk to me one-on-one, I'll be happy to share some of those things with you, the things I had a chance to be a part of. But just bringing back a quick good report about those trips, very thankful for it. And the point is that God is working. God is working. And is God working in your life? He's working. I see the head shaking. That God is working in my life. Do you begin to have more confidence in that when you begin to speak of the thing that God's been doing in your life? Like, I'm talking about your testimony. Does it do something to you when you speak your testimony and you share your testimony? Do you get to grow in that? Do you grow in it? If you are talking with someone, say you're talking with Dan or you're talking to Gary, one of these ministers, are you at times even increased in that word of God that's working in you? It's because that's where the fellowship takes place and the remembrance of God is taking place as we come together and we speak often one to another. We speak of the word of God, the things of God, and the kingdom of God, don't we? That these things might grow and be increased in us. If we're not fervent in the things of God, if we are not fervent and set our heart to know God, there is just so much of the world that is at work that it could easily capture our thoughts and carry us away and to a place where God is just a thought and a memory far away. But that's not the intent here working in this church. The word of the Lord's constantly going forth to gather us and bring us together and continuously put us in remembrance of the word of God and what's taking place. And the more we fellowship that word, man, oh man, Watch that word grow. And I want to talk about that a little bit, the thought of the Word of God growing within our hearts. It's awesome. The Bible says to seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God. And we can't leave that part off. We're seeking the kingdom of God, and we're seeking His righteousness. And what will happen if we do that? Man, thank you for talking back to me. This is good. All these things are going to be added unto you. What? Whatsoever things I have spoken unto you. Whatever things I have spoken unto you and said unto you, if you will seek the kingdom of God and my righteousness first, I will gladly give you my kingdom, which is full of righteousness, full of peace, full of joy, full of the glory of God. And I will make you one in my kingdom. I will join you to my word, and I will make you a partaker in my kingdom. Doesn't that sound like a good deal to you? It does to me. So seeking the kingdom of God, let me read a scripture, and we can go ahead. I guess we can put it up on the board here. We'll start in Luke 13 and 18. Luke 13 and 18. Being a seeker of God is a part of our walk with the Lord, because there are already things we're seeking, but this is the thought of the new man, where it says, then said he, what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall we resemble it? Next verse. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. We're going to focus on that part about it growing, about the seed growing. You know, it's so interesting because we know the parables of the grounds, right? Matthew 13, Mark 4, and I think Luke chapter 8. It talks about three different parables where it shows the example of the seed being cast into the ground. What is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. When you look in this life and you look at a seed, I remember one year before planting my garden, I have a little garden, I have a very small piece of property, but I pack as much things into it as I possibly can. And I love the idea of gardening and growing. But one year I took a picture of the seeds in my hand. Everything that my garden would eventually be was all sitting in the palm of my hand. And I took a picture of it, and I thought, this is so amazing. And this is just a good parable here in this life and in this earth that we have. But it did not yet appear, Dave, what it was going to be. Because 6 months later, when I had all of this great vegetation and vegetables and all the green foliage that had come up, it was also bringing forth fruit. And I thought, this is so cool, the parable. I like looking at stuff like this. It makes me even think about the Word of God. I like looking at the comparisons and seeing how this is such a great example, but it's such a small thing in the beginning. It's such a small thing, not even hardly visible, such a small thing. But you know, even in this parable, it said it's like a grain of mustard seed. And what's it say about the mustard seed? The smallest of the seeds. The smallest of the seeds, but it's not done. It's in the making, in the process of something very great. And it says that it grew and it waxed a great tree. You know another place that I begin to think about that tree, which, what is a tree in the interpretation of the scriptures? It's a man. Either make the tree good and the fruit, or make the tree evil and corrupt and the fruit corrupt. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and an evil tree cannot bring forth good. It's not going to happen. You cannot bring forth evil fruit if you're a good tree, and likewise the other way around. You're going to match your parable. If you're a good tree, don't you want to be that tree in the book of Psalms chapter 1? A blessed man. A blessed man. Go ahead and pull that up real quick in Psalms 1 and 1. We'll look at this real quick. We'll read this. We'll start from the beginning. The blessed man, a blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Notice this. You're blessed when your meditation in the law is in day and night. Is it not also in good and in evil? Has God only promised that he would only reveal the things that were good to us? Or did he say that I will show you and reveal the darkness that works too? He has to show. He has to show good and evil. He has to show night and day. He has to show the darkness that works. But blessed is this man in his meditation and in his thoughts, continually giving himself to know these things that God is speaking. Where is our meditation at? Where is our thoughts at? Is it being provoked by the word of the Lord? Is it being provoked by the Spirit? By these things that we fellowship in, Paula? When we commune and we talk often one to another, who joins us in that fellowship? The Lord is there. We used to quote back in religion, I'm using that kind of loosely here, we would say, where two or three are gathered at my name, there am I in the midst. Is that still true? Is that still true? If we come together and we're speaking truth one to another, and the truth is there, is the Lord there? The Lord is there. He joins himself. He is that truth. He is the word of truth, and he is using that truth to grow us up in him. Next verse. And he, which is a man, which is a tree, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his, say it,
season.
In his season. He's going to bring forth in his season. Let's remember that. It doesn't all take place in one single day. There is a process of growing and becoming and maturing and going through good and going through evil for God to raise up and bring us to wisdom and to understanding. When Jesus was born into the world, was he going out immediately and raising the dead and casting out devils and working miracles and doing all those things? What did he have to do? He had to grow in wisdom and understanding, huh, Megan? He had to grow up. You know, the thing about it is, number one, this has been taught many times, and it's been taught very well to us. But right now, I'm preaching it because it's in my heart. It's what God's working and moving in my spirit right now, is that God, though we might forget that there's a time and a season and a process for us to grow up in the Lord, God does not forget. God does not forget where we're at. Sometimes we might not know where we're at, so we're trying to place ourselves where we think we might be at in this process. Sometimes we might set ourselves way lower than what we are, and it's like, no, you're further along than that. Have you ever been told that? You're not where you think you are. You're further along in God than what you think you are. Or have you ever been told, well, hold on and wait on those things, because that's prophecy to come. There are things that may need to come in your season. But God is faithful. God's faithful. He hasn't forgot it. We just get a little impatient sometimes. We want these things to move a little longer or a little faster than what God may be working in our life. How many would agree that there is a desire in the people of God to multiply and to reproduce spiritually? What do you think? Why is that? What did he tell Adam in the garden? Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. That was a word of God that he spoke in the beginning. The desire For the Son of God to multiply and bring forth has always worked there because God put it there. And then when Abraham gets the word of the Lord and the promise that he was going to be multiplied so that his seed would be as the stars in heaven and as the sands of the sea, how could that come to pass if he said all the families of the earth will be blessed because of your faithfulness? How could that happen if he didn't at least have a son? That's why Abraham asked the Lord, he says, Lord, how shall these things be that you have promised me, seeing I don't have a son? He says, don't worry, Abraham. In the right season, Sarah, she will conceive and bring forth a child and bring forth a son. How many of you have ever likened or thought of that ground that the seed goes into as being a womb in the woman? The woman, a virtuous, righteous woman who is good ground. Let's carry this over. A virtuous woman who is of good ground. She is honest and she has understanding. She receives the word of God. And she brings forth the word of God. In those grounds, it says they heard the word and they understood it. They heard the word and they received it. They heard the word and they kept it. They kept the word of God. And they on a honest and good heart, they brought forth. So in this womb of understanding, it can hear the word of God. It hears the word of God. They that are of the truth, they what? Annie? They hear my truth. They hear my word. It's so awesome. That's what he said in John 18 and 37. They that are of the truth, they hear my word. If you are of the truth and you are of that good ground, you're going to hear the word of God. And in time, you're going to understand it. In time, we're going to know how to keep it and do it. In time, we know how to receive it and work it and become it, because it's going to take a little time to get there. Did Abraham hear the word of God and immediately it all come to pass? It didn't happen that way, did it? He had to go through some time. Was there some learning that had to take place and some growing up, even in Abraham, to get Sarah right to that place where it was her time and her season to receive that word, where she could receive and conceive that word? That is a really cool thought, isn't it? To conceive the word of God. Because there's nothing wrong with the word of God, is there? There is nothing wrong with the word of God. If it has the right ground, in the right womb, it will conceive and bring forth. It is the desire of God's people to multiply and to reproduce and bring forth the word of God. The only thing is that we have gone through a period of time where we didn't know how to be the good ground, and we brought forth something different. Maybe a child of the flesh. Maybe we brought forth some fruit that wasn't quite so good. There's a little saying that I think Daniel kind of coined around here. It's a good saying, but what is it, Brad? The fruit test? The fruit test. I caught Brad. He was definitely in some other thoughts. The fruit test. Check your fruit. What are you bringing forth? Is it a child of the flesh? Because those come a lot faster. They grow and reproduce real fast. But when you're bringing forth the Son of God and something right, there's going to be a season and a time for that to take place. And it's going to come at the appointed time. Are you in a hope of this morning? Is there a hope of the Word of God being conceived in a good heart of understanding to bring forth the Word of God in its due season? I hope this brings some hope to you. I'm not telling you where you're at. That's between you and the Lord. But wherever you're at in God, there's always a place to hope for the next place in God, because no matter where we're at, we can always be growing in the Lord. That Word of God has opportunity to grow. Let me look at another scripture here with you this morning. Let's go to, I want to go there. Let me go to somewhere different. All right, we're going to go to Mark chapter 4. Let me see where we're going here in this. 4 and 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. Once again, I love how the Lord gives us examples and likens things so that it helps the disciple to understand. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Talking about the sower here. The sower. Brad, you mentioned in Isaiah 55 and verse 8 that the rain and the snow comes down from heaven so that it can give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. This is the word of God causing all this. If you got no rain and you got no ground, you got no seed. So there first has to be the seed. Got the seed. We got the word. The word of God, the seed comes and it says the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Next verse. And should sleep and rise. Here it comes again. Night and day. Night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not how. Isn't that an interesting choice of words? I got to read this again. The seed sown into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Have you been able to look back in your life and see how far the word of the Lord that has come to you, how far it's brought you and what it's done for you in your life and how it's brought healing, how it's brought peace, how it's brought salvation, how it's brought you an overcoming, how it's begun to raise you up, how it's begun to create in you the new man, new thoughts, new perceptions. It's bringing eternal life to your thoughts and to your heart and giving you a new abiding place, because there's a word of God that got sown in your heart. And you might say, I don't even know how or when this happened, but I do know that it's come up. Dave, it's come up. There's a word of life that's come up in me. And who gets the glory for that? God raised it up, and it came up. And so let's see if there's anything after that. Verse 28. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First, the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. What's that telling us with that scripture? It takes time to grow. It takes time to grow. I don't know what happened. All I know is that the word of God is coming up in me. It's happening. God's quickening thoughts to me. He's making the word of God alive in my heart. I'm seeing the word of God like I've never seen it before. And it's becoming my new life. It's becoming my new way of living. It's becoming a new way that I think about God. I used to have perceptions in the way I thought about God. Those are all getting changed because there is something coming up. And when it comes up, first the blade. Is it done yet? There's some time. There's some growing. There's becoming. There's still some good and evil at work. Misperceptions. And here's another thing too. If you say, well, all I know is that there's just offenses and stones and thorny ground, or let's say that, stay with the stones, just stones, Offense is at work in my thoughts. Well, the Word of God is not only just a seed. You know what also it is? It's a hammer. It's a hammer. The Word of God's a hammer. So if you got some hard places in your heart, there's some stony, offended ground working, don't worry. Stick around long enough. Believe in God. Follow the Lord. Commit yourself to fellowship. Stick close to the ministry. The Word of God will break up that stony ground. It can move your heart. It can till your heart. It can break up the, it can uproot the thorns and thistles. This is what the Word of God does. It's not just one thing. It's not limited. The Word of God is everything we need. I'm depressed. I understand that. The world will make you depressed. Follow Jesus. He came to give you life. He came to give you hope. Yeah, but I have hatred working in my heart. There's still good and evil in a mixture. Keep following the Lord. Keep continuing. Let that Word of God be cultivated and let it continue to grow in your heart, because if you continue, that Word of God's going to grow. Maybe not on our time, maybe not in our season, but it will continue to grow if we continue in these things that are taking place. There was in a couple of those parables, it does talk about that the Word of God, when it was sown, it came up, it sprung forth immediately. There was a springing up, it came forth immediately. But did it mature and bring forth fruit? It didn't, Megan, did it? Because there were some things there that kept it from coming forth and bringing forth fruit into perfection. How much does God care about us bringing forth fruit? How many examples and parables are shown in the Word of God? He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that bears fruit, don't they get purged? Why do they get purged? To bring forth more fruit. Oh, the Lord's like, this fruit is good. That's good fruit. Here, let me purge you some. Let me prune some things off of you because I desire more fruit. I desire that you be fruitful, fruitful, very abundantly fruitful in the things of God. Could you be like saying to the Lord, it's like, Lord, this joy that you've given me, it's good enough. I'll stay. It's good. Or would you be like, if the Lord had another place to take you in the joy of the Lord, wouldn't you want to go? Wouldn't you want to go there? If there was higher places in peace to go to, wouldn't we want to follow the Lord there? Wouldn't we want to be abundantly fruitful in the Lord? The Lord's got so much for his people. He's got such great things for us, but we're going to continue to abide. We're going to continue in the thing that he has spoken, and we are going to let this thing come forth in our hearts. Another thought to bring forth in all this is one, and I won't spend long on this, but I will actually, let's read it here, okay? We'll read this. If I've got it pulled up. I may not have it pulled up. Let's see here. I can't find it, but let's see. It talks about those things that neither give heed to what you shall drink or what you shall eat or what you shall wear or how you shall be clothed. Matthew 6 and 1. Thank you. Let's put that up on the screen. Take no thought, right? Take no thought for your life. We're going to get there. Do we know what verse that is? 25. 25. 6 and 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's kind of an interesting thought there. Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Next verse. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Next verse. Which of you by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Which one of you by taking thought can add to and make the word of God grow faster in your life? Have we tried? Have we tried to speed things up? What is that? Impatience, hastiness. Maybe we don't quite fully believe God that he can perform what he said. A lot of different things here. Did even Abraham himself desire to get a little ahead of God and bring forth the son? And he brought forth Ishmael. I said, this is not the promise. But he said, Abram, from your loins, you're going to bring forth the son. You'll bring a son from your loins. You'll bring forth the son. You'll bring forth the son of God. So it says, you cannot add one cubit to your stature by taking thought. Next verse. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Notice it's going to growing. Consider how they grow. Just consider for a minute how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They toil not. Next verse, we shouldn't read the next verse. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. It's an example. It's a type that the lilies, that they don't toil. They just do what they're supposed to do. They grow. They grow. That seed that went into the ground and began to grow, it was because it went into the ground. The seed, the word of God, goes into the heart. And I know that a lot of this morning has been in a type and a shadow. But we know the parables here. We know that we're talking about the word of God is a spirit. And it's sown by the preacher. But really, where was it sown? Was it sown beforehand? Did God talk to us? Did God speak that word into our hearts from the beginning? Why is it that here and now that we're starting to wake up, that word, God's waking up that word of God in us to hear? Isn't that a season? Isn't that a timing? Awakening of the Lord? There's an awakening taking place. There's a timing in God where the word of God's springing forth and coming forth because now is the time. This is a work of God. This is a work of God. But there, in this example, there was no toiling. There was no trying to bring it to pass because we take thought that, God, I should be further. I should be further along in this thing. I should be up here. I should be working in the prophet or the apostle or the evangelist, and I should have all these things working in my life. What about being a disciple? What about following the Lord? What about learning the commandments? What about learning trust? What about learning all the things that we could be learning along on our journey? Are these not going to be the greatest foundation that we've ever had working in us? These sayings and these words being a foundation, being deeply rooted. That's what we need. When the Word of God comes in, it needs to go down deep into the earth. Be a root. Be strong. Because if they're not, then any little thing can come by and kind of just carry it away. It won't grow. It won't bring forth fruit. And God desires fruit. He desires us to be his fruit. Are we not the fruit of God? Are we not his love, his righteousness, his joy? That's what we are. If we're receiving the word of the Lord and it's coming into our hearts and it's transforming us, if God speaks to you a word of patience, what do you become? In time, he's going to make you the patience of the Lord. Do we need patience in this thing? We need patience because how do we suffer and go through the trying of our faith? Don't you have to be patient when your faith is being tried? When that word of God in you is being tried? We have to be patient, don't we? All of these are such great words. We want to look at these things in God, what he's making us, what we're becoming. Because though it doesn't happen overnight, we need to have the testimony that it is happening. Though I can't even see quite yet this thing that God's doing in my life, my testimony is I may not know exactly. Or maybe you do know. And if you do know, speak it. Testify of it. Witness of it. Speak what God's given you. Speak where we're at in the Lord, and God will be faithful to it, and He'll continue to grow it. But that is going to be so important in our walk with the Lord, that we confess and we keep in remembrance the work of God in our life, because He's the faithful one, right, Keith? He is the faithful one. I was talking to Keith this morning, and in just a moment, he brought me into one of his thoughts about the last two messages that he preached on, I think, Monday and Thursday, and it was a great thought. And he showed me how that Sarah was able to conceive because she judged him faithful, huh, Keith? Because she judged God faithful. And in our mind and in our thoughts, are we judging this word of God that come to us? Are we judging it faithful every single day? You've had a bad day. You had a bad week. Things happen in this life. What are we going to do? Are we going to judge him faithful, Nancy? We have to. It's our life. It's our word. So we're not going to walk around and judge our walk with the Lord and God's faithfulness based upon what's going on in this life. We have to learn. We have to have that separated. These things in life are the things of life. They're going to happen. But when it comes to the Word of God, it is the Word of God. It stands on its own merit. It doesn't have to always be qualified, because when Jesus spoke it and Jesus performed and worked and it did it, He did qualify it. We don't have to. All we have to do is believe the Word of God. All we have to do is believe the Word of God. That's how we receive it when it comes to us. And if you believe the Word of God, you are in the process of that Word of God going into your heart. Or maybe the Word of God's gone into your heart and you've been believing and following. Maybe there's some water that's going to come and raise that Word up. Or maybe the blade has come forth, and what's next? The ear. Maybe there's the next place to go in God. And then the full corn. God hasn't forgot that He knows how to grow us up in the things of God, doesn't He? He knows exactly what we need. One last thought is that, Brad, where you're referencing from this morning, when we were talking about Isaiah 55, he said that my word shall not return unto me void. It's not coming back to me with no understanding, but it will accomplish what I've set it to do. It's what God intended for it to do. And if God intended it, is it going to fail? It's not going to fail. It shall not return unto me void. It's going to return full of wisdom and understanding and fruitfulness. It's so great what God's doing here for us. I'm so thankful to be a part of it. Are you thankful for what God's doing in your heart and your life? Let's judge God faithful, Keith. Let's judge God faithful. And God's going to bring all these things to pass in our heart. Amen? Before we get going, we want to open it up and see, are there any questions or thoughts this morning? Paula.
I was just going to say to what you're saying there at the end there, is if God says it, it's a done deal.
Yeah. Is that how you judge God? It's a done deal?
It's a done deal.
Paula says if God said it, it's a done deal. You know, to that point, Paula, I thought, what if we just had faith as of a little child? What if we had that principle working in us, faith as a little child? Hey, my father said it. He doesn't lie to me. It's done. And we believe that. That is the way to think about these things. I'm looking at what God said, Paula, and He's doing it. And I believe God. Thank you for that. God said it. He's going to do it. Michael. God cannot lie, and He always keeps His promise. That's a word to live by, isn't it? That is the word we need to live by, is that God who spoke it, He cannot lie. He always keeps His word. Praise God. Good things.
Tim, I was wondering, could you guys bring up James 5, 7, and 8? You would mind reading that?
Do you want a microphone, Megan?
I'm sure. I don't have the other one.
I got one here for you.
So it's James, yeah. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And I was just thinking about how it talks about the patience of the Lord. He waits for that precious fruit of the earth, and it takes time. And it instructs us to be patient as well and to be established in our hearts.
Yeah. Thank you. So the Lord's patient for that fruit, isn't he? He is patient. So shall we be patient too, Megan?
Yes.
If that's an attribute of the Lord, that's going to be an attribute that works in us too. We're going to be patient, and we're going to let the Lord do this work in our heart. Amen? Thank you for that. Thank you. Anyone else? Marvin.
Yeah, that God can't lie. That's been in my heart a lot lately.
Awesome.
If he says it, it's going to happen. And why? Because he's God. He's got the power. Whatever he speaks, it just happens.
Yeah, but Marvin, that's just too simple to think that God just is going to not lie, and it's going to happen. That's too simple to think like that, right? I'm being facetious here, obviously. No, let's think like this. Let's think like this. God said it. He's not going to lie. That's been in your heart, hasn't it, Marvin? Good. Good. Let that grow, ma'am. Let that thought grow. Praise God. Anyone else? Sharon.
I was just thinking about the tree.
Get the microphone.
The tree making the fruit good or evil, and a good tree can't bring forth. God is the pruner. You were talking about that. If something does come up in our hearts, he's going to prune it away, and it's not going to remain. So that's another thing that we can trust in, that he is not going to allow his children to bring up evil fruit.
Yeah, if there's something that needs to get pruned, then he knows how to prune it. He knows how to prune it off. So we're trusting. I mean, we see it's the Lord's work. We got the sower, we got those that water, we got the earth bringing forth, because that's what the earth does. That's what the earth does. It brings forth. Then we have the Lord showing how he prunes when he needs to, so that it can bring forth more fruit. This is the Lord's. We're in good hands here. Thank you for that. Anyone else? All right. Well, let's just stand to our feet this morning. We want to thank you for coming out. And we're just going to be dismissed in a word of prayer, and then we can be dismissed. But Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that you are with us, Lord, and that you are growing up the Son of God in us, the seed, the word of God. Lord, we thank you for that. We're going to follow that and believe it, because it is true and you cannot lie. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed.